1 Peter 2:11 to 25. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm on mute. That's better. Sorry for those who didn't get the elephant in the room joke from listening in other rooms or at home. But yes, we've got a difficult reading today. We're in part two of our series within a series where we're looking at Christians living in a hostile world and our approach to that. Today we're looking at 1 Peter 2 verses 13 to 17, the middle chunk of that reading that we had. Last week we did verses 11 and 12, setting up the principle. Today we're looking at submission to authorities. Next week we'll be looking at slaves submitting to masters, the week after wives and husbands. So controversial stuff. Elephants in the room. Last week, before we started the sermon, I talked about two dangers that we have in front of us. The first danger is the elbow sermon, what Dave likes to refer to as the elbow sermon, when we hear God's word and we hear it preached and we think about the person who needs to have it applied to them and we think about how they need to hear this and we don't think about how we need to hear this. So just again, another reminder, this word is speaking to you. This word is speaking to you. Now, the other danger was the confirmation sermon, where we're hearing something, but we've come with our position. We've come deciding what we think. And it's very easy for us to say, well, I'm going to have what I believe is right confirmed to me from Scripture, and I'm not ready to be shown that I'm wrong. And so we talked about that last week too. And I prayed before we got into it that God would humble us, help us to receive God's word as God's word, wherever we're coming from. We'll need to pray that prayer again today. As I say, there's an elephant in the room. Actually, there's a whole herd of elephants in the room, and I'm not talking about you guys, beautiful people. I'm talking about all the different concepts and issues that we're dealing with which relate to submission to authorities. The vaccine and how we deal with that, and mandates and certificates, and masks, and lockdowns and restrictions. The Conversion Practices Prohibition Bill. There are so many things we can talk about in terms of our government and the society we live in New Zealand in 2022. And you could be sitting here today thinking, well, I wonder what David's position on this is going to be. or thinking about your position on this. Again, we have to hold our positions loosely and submit and conform them to God's word rather than the other way around. When we have God's word, we submit and conform it to our positions. So this is where we need to ask God for help. And let me pray that he would help us to receive this word today. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you reveal truth to us. Please help us to see how your word is good today. Please help us to see how we might follow Jesus in our world. Please help us as spiritual infants to crave spiritual milk, that we might grow up into our salvation, having tasted that the Lord is good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a game which used to play at primary school called Mercy Mercy. And I remember playing this, maybe you do too, where two people would interlock hands and then they'd grapple just with the hands, and they'd twist and turn and wrench and keep going until one person said, "Mercy, mercy," at which point the other person would let go. And so the one who submitted loses, and the one who does not submit wins. That's actually the basis of much of our wrestling and boxing sports. It's the one who submits loses, and the one who doesn't submit wins. We also see that message come through when you're watching nature documentaries. Often two male of whatever species are locking horns or butting heads, fighting over something, and the one who in the end submits loses, and the one who doesn't wins. And the one who submits and loses goes away without a right to a mate or to some food, to some prey. It's something we've seen in the history of society and in wars, where wars are fought and battles are lost and won, and the ones who submit lose, and the ones who don't submit win, and they get to record the history. It's something you see right at home, at the family dinner table, where a parent asks a child to sit nicely, please, and then before too long you're locked into a power struggle, where it's not at all about posture anymore, it's about power. And the one who submits loses, and the one who does not submit wins and knows how to win the next time. It's something we see constantly. So no wonder it's a bit prickly for us to think about submission today, because we just feel like we always get that message where submission equals losing, and I win by not submitting. And we don't like the idea of losing. And then layer on top of that an innate part of us, our human nature, our fallen human nature, which I like to refer to as this desire for self-determination. That is, I decide. I decide the course of my life. I decide what type of person I am. I decide what people think of me. I decide what I do with my time, how I spend my money. I decide what is true for me. I decide what is right and wrong for me. I decide what is good. I decide what is best. And to submit feels like you're giving up that self-determination. You're giving up a part of yourself. You're losing some kind of agency, some personhood, because you're saying by submission, someone else has a say in the course of your life. Someone else has a say in what is how you spend your time and how you spend your money and what you are to do, what is true and what is right and what is good. What is best for you. And so we fight against it. We fight against submission because we have this desire to direct and determine and decide for ourselves. Partly as well, when it comes to hearing about submission, that makes it difficult for us is our preconceived ideas of what submission is. Whether or not it's losing, we still fear it. Maybe you think that submission kind of equals approval. As in, if I submit to something, isn't it just approving of everything they do? Am I not just enabling them to continue doing wrong things which I don't like? Does it mean that I can't question them? And as we read through 1 Peter 2 today, we'll see, well, no, you can't mean that. He's talking about submission to the Emperor of Rome. He's not saying approve of everything they do, enabling them, but he's saying submit. So the submission isn't meaning approval. But you may still struggle. You might think that submission is closer to slavery or worship, that you're giving yourself over to the power of another and all the wrong things that they do and the idolatries that they have. And you may fear that. But again, we'll see from looking at this, Peter is talking about submission to the Emperor of Rome. He's not talking about worship. He's talking about worship of God. Lastly, maybe you just think, well, submission has to involve agreement, and that we'll submit when it's something that we agree to. If anything, it's the opposite. Submission is probably most clearly seen when you submit in the case of disagreement. You go ahead even though you still disagree. For instance, after the service in our little bubble, I could hand around some delicious Whittaker's chocolate, some creamy milk Whittaker's chocolate. And if I'm offering it to you, you're unlikely to say, okay, David, you win, I yield, I submit, I'll take some chocolate. No, you'll just say, oh, that looks good, thanks, Dave. It's not really submission if it's just something we've already determined for ourselves as good. We're submitting to our taste or our reason or our, what we think is good and right. So that's, again, not what we're seeing here in 1 Peter. We need to think about what submission is here. What is, are they being called to do? We need to think about the what, and we need to think about the why. So that's what we're going to do. But we need to think of this framed within where we were last week with verses 11 and 12 of 1 Peter 2. This approach that we are to have as Christians living in a hostile world. And because those two verses, verses 11 and 12, set up that paradigm. And friends, we are not to fight. We are not to flee. We're not to fold, as we thought about last week. The Christian approach isn't one of aggression or invisibility or of compromise. It's not conformity. We are sticking out. And that's what we thought about last week. We stick out because of who we are. We are foreigners and exiles. We don't belong here. Our goals in this world are different because we don't belong here. We're never going to belong here. We're foreigners and exiles. So we stick out because of who we are. We stick out by how we live. Last week we thought about those two. Abstain from sinful desires, how you don't live, and live such good lives. Live noticeably, publicly good lives amongst the world around us. So we stick out by how we live. And lastly, last week we thought, stick out until the end. We may not get that vindication until the very last day. Talked about people glorifying God on the day he visits us. That is our goal, God's glory. And until then, the life of a Christian may look not worthwhile or not plausible or foolish to people. But we live good lives in this world. As Christians, we stick out until the end, knowing that on that final day, it will be shown that the life of submission and suffering is followed by glory. The life that follows Jesus and the example he gave us in 1 Peter 2 is followed by vindication. And so we stick at it until the end. That's what we saw last week. And so we're keeping with that frame of sticking out. And the way we're going to think about this paragraph is in verses 13 to 17 is to stick out by submitting, to stick out with honor, and to stick out for the Lord. So it's the what and the why. Two on what, submitting and honor, and one on why, for the Lord. So first of all, stick out by submitting. Verse 13. The command is, very simple, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Christians are to submit themselves, to be submitted to every human authority. And Peter, in the second half of verse 13 and in verse 14, describes these authorities. It says, whether to the emperor, to the Caesar, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right, those who've got delegated authority from Caesar, from the emperor. Now, Peter, who's writing, I don't think expects any of the people he's writing to personally meet the emperor of Rome. But when he says submit to him, he is saying submit to that authority that has been established. That elsewhere in the New Testament you'll read about that God's placed that person in authority. And so you submit to him and to those who are delegated under him, the governors. And so if there are laws around freedom of movement and laws around trade, they are to be followed. If there are taxes to be paid, they are to be paid. Christians here are being told to submit to every human authority. But think about that for a moment. Think about who's writing. Think about who is writing to and when. It is amazing. It is astonishing. It is shocking. Peter is writing this. Peter, who's well known for saying in Acts chapter 5 to the Jewish high priest, "We must obey God rather than men." And here he is saying, submit for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Peter, who, as tradition states it, and it seems to be quite strong, Peter, who will be killed at the command of the Emperor of Rome. AD 64, the fire of Rome. Emperor Nero, the madman, blames the fire on the Christians, and there's a terrible persecution. And it's likely that Peter lost his life sometime around then. And the story goes that he was crucified upside down. And here, Peter is saying, submit yourselves to every human authority. His life is going to see the suffering and the pain of those human authorities, and still he's saying submit to them. But think about the people he's writing to as well. These readers here in 1 Peter, who are scattered across these different regions, Pontus and Bithynia and Asia and elsewhere, they too, although they've not met the Emperor of Rome likely, they too have suffered. They've suffered at the hands of the Emperor of Rome. In Acts chapter 18, you read about Emperor Claudius, who is Nero's predecessor. So you've got these two emperors during the kind of ministry of Peter. You've got Claudius, and then Nero was the madman. Claudius wasn't that much better. In Acts chapter 18, you read about him expelling all the Jews from Rome, including the Jewish Christians. That's how the Apostle Paul meets Priscilla and Aquila, because they've been kicked out of Rome. Those Christians leave Rome and places like it and scatter and settle in other cities. So it's very likely that amongst the cities and regions that Peter's writing to in these churches, you've got people who've had their lives uprooted by the Emperor of Rome. Their livelihoods, their homes, their communities has all changed. They've had their movement restricted. That happens a couple of times in the book of Acts as Christians are first of all kicked out of Jerusalem and church grows. It's great for the church, but it's suffering still. And it's hard. And to these people, Peter says, submit for the Lord's sake to every human authority. It's astonishing. And then going back in history and casting slightly forward from the time that Peter is writing this letter, we have historical evidence about what life was like for Christians in these regions. Perhaps 50, 60 years after this letter was written, we have a letter from a governor of Pontus and Bithynia, two of those regions Peter's writing to. He's writing to the Emperor of Rome. The governor's name is Pliny, and the Emperor Trajan, and Pliny is saying, "I don't know what to do with Christians. I've not encountered them before. What am I supposed to do with them, Emperor? I put them on trial. I try to work out what they've done wrong. Can't find that they've done anything wrong, except it seems pretty wrong that they only worship one God, and they don't worship our Roman gods. And I interrogate them three times over, and at the third time of asking, if they still haven't denied Christ as Lord and said Caesar is Lord and made a sacrifice to an idol in Caesar's name, if they still haven't done that, well, clearly, for being so inflexible, they must be somewhat wrong, so I have them killed." And that's 50 to 60 years after this letter's written in the same region. The Christians who are suffering in this way, maybe they'd seen the letter that had been brought to them, the first one that Peter had written to them. Maybe some of the older ones remembered hearing that being read for the first time, and they were told, submit to every human authority. It is astonishing, the command here to submit, because it's to the Emperor of Rome, it's to tyranny, it's to wicked rulers, occupiers. And Peter is saying, submit. Grounded in that example of Jesus that we see at the end of chapter 2 so beautifully, his suffering on the cross. He wasn't submitting to the hands of godly people, good people. He was suffering at the hands of the wicked. and we're being told to follow in his steps. So that suffering and submission was submitting ultimately to him who judges justly. It leads to glory. But that is what they were called to do. And here we are in New Zealand in 2022, and we thankfully don't live under the Emperor of Rome. We don't live under a wicked tyrant in that regard. And we live under those who are politically elected. And we receive the same command to stick out by submitting. Submitting to those in authority. We live in a land which has speed limits, and we keep to them. We live in a land which has restrictions for safety around what you wear on your bike and how you restrain yourself in the car, and we keep them. We have taxes to be paid. We have laws around property and possession and what substances we can consume. We have laws around all these things. We have a quota on how much we can fish. That's the land we live in. And Christians are called to stick out, to demonstrate their good lives by submitting. By submitting to authorities. We are to stick out, submitting. It may feel like it comes at a cost, that there are difficulties and there are things that we don't agree with. And it's not saying that we must deny Jesus as Lord. It's saying that we submit. It is not saying that we can't question things or we can't advocate for people. But the command is to submit. Our temptation is to argue in from the exception, to look for where the line is and the space before the line and how we should deal with it. Try and change our thinking and look at it and saying, well, how do I submit in this area? How do I follow the Lord's will? These people here, they suffered greatly at the hands of political authorities, and they were called to submit. So that's the first what. Stick out by submitting. Secondly, stick out with honour. The main command there is there in verse 13, but you've got four commands in verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. This is talking about honour going in all directions in our life, in our spheres as we see people, in society and in church, with authority and with the Lord himself. We're to send honour in all directions. We are to honour everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. Now you might find the word honour just as offensive as the word submit. Or just as tricky, because honour does sound a lot like worship. And how can we honour the dishonourable? How can we honour those who dishonour God? How can we honour those who mistreat the family of believers? But honour is very clearly here not worship. You see the word used for how we relate to God, how we show honour to God, verse 17, we fear him. Fear goes in one direction, fear and worship go in one direction, honour goes in all directions. There is only one that we should fear and only one that we should worship. That is the Lord God, who is over all things, who created all things, who will judge all things. He is the one to be feared. But it is not an either or. It is not fear God or honor the emperor. It is fear God, honor the emperor. Fear God and honor the emperor. As you fear God, honor the emperor. That is what we're called to do. It's not a decision between two things. We're not giving ourselves over to political authorities by honouring them and submitting to them. And that is what in this context seems to mean. It's to submit, because that's the command of verses 13 to 17. We honour the emperor by submitting. And what it means to honour everyone, that gets some further development over the next couple of weeks of readings. We'll see how that applies to slaves and masters and the rest of chapter 2, how that applies to wives and husbands in chapter 3. We'll see in chapter 3, verse 8, about treating each other with love and not repaying evil with evil or insult with insult. So we'll see over the next few weeks what that honour looks like. But notice for a moment, verse 17, Peter's put these four commands together. He's not separating them out from each other. They come together. honoring the emperor is best done in a context where we are loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we are fearing God. If we are not loving our brothers and sisters, but we are honoring the emperor, we've got something wrong. If we're fearing God, but not loving our brothers and sisters, there's something wrong. These things go together. And as you think about it, and as you think about those people Peter's writing to, that makes sense. How important it would be to keep on fearing God and loving the emperor in the position that they're in. Their vulnerable position as Christians in a hostile world. As they suffer, and as suffering comes intense for them, they need to be reminded of the God who is to be feared. He alone who is to be worshipped. He whose word they are following and trusting in. It is worthwhile. And how much they need the love of their Christian brothers and sisters. As they suffer, as they go through the difficulty of submitting, they need each other. They need each other's love. So it is great that Peter is putting this in here for them and for us. As we are here in 2022 seeking to live in our world around us, how important it is that we remember who God is and fear him, and that we love our brothers and sisters. For me, the saddest thing about the last 9 months' restrictions and ever since Delta first came into New Zealand has been how we've been separated from each other within our church family. We've been physically separated so that on Sundays, when we come here, we know that most of our brothers and sisters at Trinity are in another room or at another service or staying at home. And that's really sad and that's really tough. And not only have we been physically separated from each other, we have been politically separated from each other, where we have these strongly held opinions and we've had this develop into very us and them, very vaccinated and unvaccinated and all these types of things. And we can feel separate from others and feel strong about other people negatively, and we can want to retreat into our own little echo chamber where we only ever hear our own opinion. And that separated us from each other. How important it is to love the family of believers in a time like this. How wonderful it has been to see that love in the last 9 months, of the lengths that people have gone to express that unity and that fellowship with brothers and sisters, despite the restrictions, as we submit together, working it out and loving one another. The lengths that people have gone to care for others when they've been sick, and to give companionship in loneliness, to listen to each other. That is wonderful, and we must keep it up, and we must continue considering, how might I love my family of believers as we live in this hostile world, as we seek to honour those around us? How do I honour my family of believers? By loving them. And we continue to think about that. It doesn't mean not talking to each other. It means listening to each other and giving others a chance to speak for themselves. It also may mean not talking about specific with our brothers and sisters, because we have a thing which unites us together that is so much greater and so much more important and so much more worth talking about: Jesus. And we can talk about the life of following Jesus together and encouraging each other to follow Jesus together and make that our subject of conversation. We must consider how we can love each other as we stick out with honour. So we've thought about two things to do with what? Stick out by submitting, stick out with honour. Let's think about the why. And the why in this reading, verses 13 to 17, is impossible to escape from. It is abundantly clear. Verse 13, submit yourselves, why? For the Lord's sake. Verse 15, it is God's will. Verse 16, you are God's slaves. And verse 17, fear God. Why do we stick out? We stick out for the Lord. Why do we submit? We submit for the Lord. We're not submitting for their sake. We're submitting for his sake. We're not submitting and honoring as their slaves. We are submitting as God's slaves. We stick out for the Lord. We honor him. And in verses 15 and 16, we see those reasons fleshed out a bit. So we'll just look at them one by one. Verse 15, why do we submit? Well, it's God's will, and it's God's will to do what? Well, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Verse 14 talks about doing good or doing right and how governors will praise those who do good. But that is not why Christians submit. Not for praise, but for God, for his will, that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Now there is another glimpse into the vulnerable position that 1 Peter's readers had. We read about it last week, talked about the pagans accusing you of doing wrong. We'll see it in chapter 3, talks about people speaking maliciously against you. You'll see it in chapter 4, people who don't understand the Christian lifestyle and heaping abuse on them. The readers of 1 Peter lived in this atmosphere of accusation, this Greco-Roman cancel culture, because they were weird, they were dangerous, they weren't understood. We thought about this last week. Why are Christians meeting together so regularly and calling each other brothers and sisters? Why are they meeting rich and poor, old and young, Jew and Gentile? What's going on here? What's wrong with this? Why aren't they worshipping little statues and figurines like we do? Why do they worship a man who was crucified? As Christians were the first people to be called atheists, because they did not worship the Roman gods and they didn't have statues that they worshipped. So if there's nothing to look at that's a god, they must not believe in God. They're atheists. And they had so many accusations brought against them. And here it is saying, well, by doing good, you silence their accusations. You show you are not a danger to society. And as we saw last week, that vindication may not come until the very end when Jesus returns. The silencing of ignorance may be later. But one day, everyone will see the foolishness of rejecting Christ. And the wisdom of following Jesus will be seen. That was then. And now it's still true for us. As Christians living in 2022 New Zealand, we can come to all kinds of accusations and thoughts of being anti-social, anti-society. Because we do not belong here. We are foreigners and exiles. This is not our home, but we live here. And it's on us to think about and give careful consideration to how we live in this world. Are we doing good? Are we seeking to honor others? Are we confirming or showing to be false the accusations of the world around us? That is why we stick out by submitting. The other reason there is in verse 16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Like last week, it comes down to who we are as Christians. We are free people. Now, that could be used as a reason not to submit, because we are free people. And as we heard at the start of 1 Peter, we are God's chosen people. We're his special possession. We are special. Why should we submit to authorities over us? Why should we give up that freedom? We have rights. We are special. And yet here he's saying, no, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. That is what it means to be free as a Christian. It doesn't mean that kind of self-determination I talked about before, where I decide for myself. No, to be free as a Christian means we've been freed from a terrible master of sin and pride and greed and the world. We've been freed from that to a good master, to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's slaves, and so we do his will. We submit to his word. We trust in it and its goodness, even when we struggle to see why it's worthwhile or struggle to see the sense of it. It is if we do this. And that is something we need to be careful on as well, because as we talk about submission in this world, we can turn the reason to submit into the excuse not to. I fear God, I worship God, therefore I won't submit to this thing because I don't think it's right. Worshipping God and fearing God is the reason to submit long before it is the excuse not to submit. We have to take that seriously. We have to consider our motives and consider who we are as free people, as God's slaves. Slaves of the good and wonderful Lord who will keep us safe until the end. So that is why we stick out. We stick out by submitting, we stick out with honour, we stick out for the Lord. And as we finish, I'd like to leave you with a question. You get to ask us questions today, but I get to ask a question too. And it's one for you to think about, and it's this. Who or what am I really submitting to? Who or what am I really submitting to? I've touched on this before. Because am I just submitting to my personal taste or sense of what's right? Am I submitting to reason? Am I submitting to my ideals? Because that is not the submission that we are called to do here. Whatever your approach in the last 2 years has been, what has been your submission to? Whether you've resisted or insisted on the vaccine, what has your approach been? For instance, I'm someone who was vaccinated. I think it's good. I think it's something we were called to do. And I think it's good for society and a good solution. I could feel, if I wanted to, very self-righteous about that. But then I could drive home tonight, like I did last week, along Brougham Street, where there are roadworks, and it's a Sunday evening, and the cones are mostly to the side, and there's no workers there, and 30 kilometres an hour feels really slow. And I could not do that. At that point, I'm inconsistent in my submission to authority. What I'm consistent in is my submission to my reason. I submit to things which I think make sense to me and are right, and what I think is good to do. Likewise, as I'm riding my bike and I get to a pedestrian crossing and for some reason it's red but there's no one crossing, in my head I could go, well, I can go through here, it's fine. But I'm submitting to my reason and not to the authorities, not to God's word. Or it could be that we've submitted in one area, but when it comes to our tax, doing all we can to avoid paying taxes and finding all the loopholes we can, and at that point, are we submitting to authorities? Are we submitting to the Lord? Or are we just submitting to our own sense of what keeps us financially secure and safe and keeping hold of what we think belongs to us? Is that submission? That's a challenge for us to think about today. What am I really submitting to? But as we think about that, look to Jesus. Look to the example of Jesus, the one who has gone before us, who suffered and submitted and found vindication in glory, who achieved salvation for us. Jesus, who, chapter 2, verse 23, when they held their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. As we submit, we'll submit to things that we don't agree with, we think might be wrong. But we are trusting that there is a judge who is good, and he will see it sorted by the end, and that we are safe in him, and that Jesus has gone before us. He is worth following. He is worth submitting to. Let me pray. Our Father God, much for your word to us. It is a weighty calling to live in this world as foreigners and exiles. As we consider all that is asked of us and many things that we find difficult, please help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Please help us to let go of our sense of self-determination and to trust in you. Please help us to submit. As we do that, might that be for your glory and goodness, not for our own vindication, not for our own little mini kingdoms, but for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.